बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
So we were in verse number 5, is it? Yeah. Tadgaccha dhruva bhadram te bhagavantam adokshajam sarvabhutatma bhavena sarvabhutatma vigraham. So the theme was service to supreme form includes service to individual forms. So when one serves the supreme, then all other jivas also are served by that. And naturally one's behavior towards living entities becomes totally different when one is serving the supreme. Therefore in the Kapila's section in 29th chapter, Lord Kapila is saying that if somebody is serving me in the form of my deity, at the same time somebody is injurious to other living entities, it is exactly like, you know, pouring ghee in ashes in a yajna kunda, like that is telling. If you pour ghee in the ashes, it is good for nothing. You have to pour ghee in the fire. But if somebody is worshipping the Lord and not respecting the other jivas, so they are called as bhinnadrik. Bhinnadrik means separatist mentality, it is called. Why? What is separatist? They are separating the parts and parcels from the Lord altogether. They are not able to see the connection between the jiva and the Lord. So they are called separatist. So if somebody says, I am worshipping Supreme, I am still a separatist, he is a Kanishtha Adhikari. Because Kanishtha Adhikari means he worships only the Lord in the deity form, but he doesn't respect the living entities. So, but here it says that if one worships the Supreme properly, then he will definitely worship the parts and parcels also. Like that. That is the point. Okay, let's go to the sixth verse.
Bhajasva bhajaniyangrim abhavaya bhavachidam yuktam virahitam shaktya gunamayatma mayaya.
Yes, translation. Translation.
Engage yourself fully, therefore, in the devotional service of the Lord. For only He can deliver us from this entanglement of materialistic existence. Although the Lord is attached to His material potency, He is aloof from her activities. Everything in this material world is happening by the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
See, there are two words used here, yuktam, virahitam. Yuktam means attached, virahitam means detached. Why these contradicting qualities are put together here? The meaning is, here Prabhupada says here, although the Lord is attached to His material potency, He is aloof from her activities, He is saying. So that is explained in the purport. If you see, some 10-12 lines from the bottom of the from the end of the purport. The living entity who is of the Tatastha Shakti is entrapped by the Bahiranga Shakti on the basis of his desire to lord it over the material world. The Lord is aloof from this, but when the same living entity engages himself in devotional service of the Lord, then he becomes attached to this service. This situation is called Yuktam. Like Krishna says, you know, Tani Sarvani Samyamya. There also the word yukta is used. Similarly, yukta karma phalam tyaktva, but not yukta, what is that? Shanti mapnoti naishtikim, ayukta kama karena phale sakto nibadhyate, correct, yukta only. There also, yukta karma phalam tyaktva, shanti mapnoti naishtikim, ayukta कामकारेण फले सक्तो निबध्यते. इट्स वेरी सिंपल संस्कृत, इट इज ईजीली कैन अंडरस्टैंड. युक्त इफ यू एंगेज इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस कर्म फलम त्यक्त्वा गिव ऑल योर फ्रूट्स टू द लॉर्ड, व्हाट इज शांति मापनोति, यू विल अटेन पीस. व्हाट पीस? नैष्ठिकीम मीन्स long lasting peace you will attain, and then ayuktaha, if one is not engaged in service of the Lord, kama karena, because he has desire for sense gratification, phale sakto, he is attached to the fruits, nibadyate, he gets bound. Very simple, easy to understand verse. That means if somebody turns away from Krishna and is attached to the fruits, he gets entangled, entrapped in maya. But one who is engaging in Krishna consciousness becomes peaceful, he says. Similarly here also he says, for the devotees of the Lord, for devotees the Lord is present even in the material energy. This is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. For example, the Lord is appearing in one of the 8 material elements, dhatus, as the deity form, correct? Huh? Shri Vigraha. So devotees can see the Lord in the deity form and awaken love for him. And also devotees see that Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo, like Pranava Sarva Vedeshu Shabda Ke Paurusham Rishu Punyo Gandha Prithivyam Cha Tejas Chasmi Vavasav Jeevanam Sarva Bhuteshu Tapas Chasmi Tapas Vishu. And then he is saying, what is that? Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam Vidhi Pata Sanatanam Buddhir Buddhi Matamasmi Tejas Tejas Namaham Balam Palavatam Chaham Kamaraga Vavarijitam Dharma Virudho Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarshaba Echaiva Sattvika Bhava Rajasastama Shastri Matta Eveti Tanvedi Tatpaham Teshtemai. So in those verses Krishna says that all the three gunas emanate from me, but I am not bound by the three gunas. And also all the things within the gunas are also I am the strength of the strong, intelligent of the intelligent. Therefore here he says that devotees can see Lord in the material energy also. In this world, he is the essence of everything. He is the best of everything. He is the cause of everything. They can see like that. So Lord is attached to the service of his devotees, rendered with the love, even in the material world. But the material energy is virahitam, separated energy, he says. So it's very important for Vaishnava devotees especially to know the 9.3 and 9.4 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, which talks about this yuktam virahitam principle very deeply. It says, we'll repeat this verse. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhuta brinnacha bhutasto mamatma bhuta bhavanah. See, in these two verses Krishna says simultaneous connectedness and disconnectedness from the material world. He says that the material world has emanated from me, but it is my separated energy. So somebody may say, oh, it's your separated energy, that means you have nothing to give and take with it. Correct, no? No, but he descends into this world as avatars, performs leela and interacts with the living entities also. And he gives the Vedic literature, and also he is also with his sun and moon like eyes, is giving grains, fruits, everything. Hey, that means you are maintaining all the living entities, you are attached to them. He says, no. He is saying, Goloka Nivasati, I only live in Goloka, but Akhilatma Bhuto. At the same time, I am also pervading in this world, all pervading in this world. So what is the meaning of these two verses? Many people, Mayavadis, have completely got confused with this verse. They have given such a bluffing interpretations. Sometimes Mayavadis, Bhagavata, if you see, they will say that it's very contradicting, these two verses. It looks like this is very complicated, it's not very clear, they say like that. But in Vaishnava literature, there is no confusion. Why? They say that the Prakriti is dependent on Lord Krishna, but Krishna is not attached to Prakriti. This is the sum and substance of these two verses. Prakriti is dependent on Krishna, and without Krishna, Prakriti cannot function. But Krishna is not attached to Prakriti. Just like, say, you are a liberated soul, for example. So your body can exist only when you exist as a liberated soul, correct, no? The soul is in the body, so body, do you agree body depends on the soul for survival? Correct. But a liberated soul, is he attached to his body? No. Like that only Krishna is. The Prakriti depends on him for its very existence. Like You have heard that chapter, Nodadittet Tada Virat. I'll show you that verse. You must have finished that chapter, I think. Nodadittet Tada Virat. I'll just show you that. It is in the Virat chapter. Several times it comes in this chapter, you will see that. See how many times? Please repeat this. You are able to see now? Okay. See, this is 3.26. You must have studied already, correct? Pak nirvacha mukham bheje nodatishthat tada virat granena nasike vayur nodatishthat tada virat. See, the agni entered in the mouth with agana of speech, but Virat Purusha could not be aroused. Then the god of wind entered his nostrils with the sense of smell, but still Virat Purusha refused to be awakened. Akshini Chakshushaditya Nodatishthat Tada Virat Shrotrena Karanau Cha Disho Nodatishthat Tada Virat. Surya entered the eyes of the Virat Purusha with the sense of sight, but still Virat Purusha did not get up. Similarly, Digdevatas entered through the ears with the sense of hearing, but still he did not get up, he says. So like that he will say about each of them. Tada virat, it keeps on going in the same way. Mudam vrityurapanena nodatishtha tada virat. Hasta vindro palena iva nodatishtha tada virat. Like that it will go on. Because Indra is in charge of hands. Like that it goes on. And then finally, now you will see here. See. Kshutribhyam udaram sindur nodatishtat tada virat hridayam manasa chandro nodatishtat tada virat. The ocean entered his abdomen and with hunger and thirst, but cosmic being refused to rise even then, and the soma entered his mind, still he was not getting up. And then buddhya brahma api hridayam nodatishtat tada virat rudro abhimatya hridayam nodatishtat tada virat. Brahma also entered his heart with intelligence, but still the Virat Purusha couldn't be woken up. Rudra also entered his ego, still he could not be woken up, like that he says. And then in this way, he is saying, chittena hridayam chaityaha kshetrajnam pravishad yada virat tadaiva purushaha salila udatishtita. Now he is woken up now. What happened? However, when the inner controller, the deity presiding over consciousness, which is super soul, entered the heart with reason, at that very moment cosmic being arose from the causal waters. Now he got up now at last. Yata prasuptam purusham pranendriya manodiyaha prabhavanti vinayena notta payitu mojasa. When a man is sleeping, all his material assets, namely vital energy, sense of, for recording knowledge, sense of working, mind, intelligence, cannot arouse him. He can be aroused only when super soul helps him. Correct, na? Like that, when super soul enters, the whole universe is set into motion. So this is the meaning of how the whole universe depends on him. There is one song in Tamil, only unfortunately you can't understand Tamil, otherwise I can tell you. Naan asaindal asayum ahila mellame. He's telling, when I move, the whole universe will move, he says. Lord is singing. When I don't enter the universe, the birds will, they will freeze. And the ocean waves, they will freeze like that. The trees which are sending breeze, they will become all frozen completely. But when I enter, everything is, seasons are changing, the flowers are blooming, the trees are laden with fruits, sun is rising, you know, moon is rising, stars are twinkling, rain is showering, and people are running here and there, everything. And Lord, so in this way the whole universe is dependent on the Lord. You understand this point? Now the whole, see, the amazing point here is what? First the Pradhan to Mahatattva to Prakriti, 24 material elements are created. That we can understand, it's a conglomeration of material elements. Then all the jivas were cast into this world by the glance of Vishnu. So millions of jivas entered, still the universe was not moving, nothing was happening. Then the sense devatas came, in the each of the limbs of Virat Purusha, like Surya, you know, who is that? Ashwini Kumaras and Dig Devatas and all of them, they all came and stood. And they were also making sound, chanting Vedic mantras and everything. Still he was not getting up. So this was very surprising to me when I first read, because even millions of jivas, although they are all chetan vastu, together they cannot do anything. It's just not possible. Correct, no? Like you all know, they use the crane, you know, for lifting things, you have seen, no? So I used to wonder, why can't 1,000 people lift it instead of a crane? But they said, even many people together cannot lift certain things, for which you have to have a crane, powered by a crane only. Similarly, all the jivas put together also cannot make this universe a colorful place. They cannot do it. Millions of jivas. And even Brahma is there, Shiva, Rudra is there, everybody is there. But all are dead and inactive until who enters? The Lord enters. Therefore, we can declare that this universe with all living in this chara, achara and all the inanimate objects, it's all, you know, totally dependent on the Lord for its, you know, very survival and for any action. Correct, no? So, Prakriti depends on him for survival. Whereas he doesn't depend on Prakriti. He is not attached to Prakriti. But he allows Prakriti to take support of him. Okay, no problem. You take support. I will give you, okay, I will come personally and I will activate you. Maya Adhyakshena. So, this is what Chakravarti Thakur explains. Maya Adhyakshena means I am only supervising. I am not attached. Somebody may say, hey, if you are supervising, that means you may have some attachment to results. Otherwise, why are you supervising? That is due to his compassion. And due to his compassion on us, he is supervising on Prakriti. He is glancing at Prakriti as the two eyes, the sun and the moon. And then he is providing all the necessities of life for all of us like that. But at the same time, how is he considered detached? That should be explained also. How is he detached? He has given freedom to living entities, whatever they want to do. He has given them three gunas. Take it. Sad, asad, yoni, occupy, whatever you want. Enjoy the life the way you want. In fact, I will provide you for everything you want. And that's why he is detached. Most parents are not detached. Because when they give something to their children, when the children grow up, they have expectations. Because they will say, अरे जरा सोचा हमने क्या क्या किया तुम्हारे लिए है? कैसे भूल गए तुम है? ऐसे माँ बाप के साथ ऐसे व्यवहार करना नहीं चाहिए. दे गेट वेरी अटैच्ड एंड दे क्राई ऑल्सो समटाइम्स. सम पेरेंट्स आउट ऑफ लव दे बीट ऑल्सो. दे स्लैप और पिंच और बीट और हिट. दे डू ऑल थिंग्स बिकॉज ऑफ अटैचमेंट. दे हैव एक्सपेक्टेशन फ्रॉम द चिल्ड्रन. वेयरएज द लॉर्ड, देयरफॉर इट इज सेड, गॉड गिव्स गिव्स एंड वी get and
forget.
Yeah, and he doesn't you know, chase after us. He is detached. So within the upside down bowl of this Brahmanda, he has given us the freedom. Okay, go wherever you want, do whatever you wish, you know, learn your own lesson. He is given the freedom, therefore he is unattached, he explains. So here he says yuktam virahitam. But if some living being, you know, uses the material energy to serve the Lord, engaging all assets in Lord's service, then the Lord and the living being will have attachment to each other. So like that he says. So, but why is he saying this? There is a reason. Why is Kubera saying this to Dhruva? Because he is saying that in this world, any project undertaking you take, you should do your duties responsibly. But you should cultivate detachment. Because everything will not go the way you want. And if you don't cultivate detachment, you will be the most frustrated person. If you are only responsible, you will be frustrated. And if you are fully detached, others will be frustrated. Because there is no one taking responsibility. Correct? either of the two parties will be frustrated, correct? But if you are responsible and detached, then you are happy, others are happy also. Therefore, Krishna teaches both these qualities, responsibility and detachment. So, what is the meaning of this? That means, for example, your mother and father should beget children. That is their duty. Then after that, raise the children in a responsibility with training and education. Then thirdly, provide them facilities to utilize the training by which they can do good to the world and good to themselves, and then leave them. That's all. If they obey, good. If they don't obey, all right. No problem. Then detached. So only such a person, so God is such a person, he says. So indirectly he is hinting to Dhruva, you are Lord's devotee, then you also should be responsible and detached, both. So you are responsible, so you should fight the yakshas. And warn them, threaten them, are you guys have killed my brother. Kshatriya, you punish them. But then be detached, so that your anger will not go beyond a certain limit. Because anger goes beyond limit means the person is frustrated. Correct, no? So if you are detached, you won't be frustrated. Therefore, he is giving this example about the Lord. See the Subodhini Guide, page number 95. Page number 95, if you see. In that below, verse number 5 to 6, 8 qualities of the Lord are given. Please read it.
So, please the worship the Lord, who has following features. 1. Beyond sensory perception, adokshajam. 2. Super soul of all living entities, who are thus one without distinction. Transcendental in form, vigraham. His lotus feet are worshipable, bhajaniyangrim. Without birth or death, abhavaya. Delivers from materialistic existence, bhavachiddam.
Bhavachiddam.
Bhavachiddam. Joined to, yuktam, maya because it is his shakti. Aloof from, virahitam, maya, because it is not his swarupa.
That is Chakravarti Thakur commentary. Actually, why is he virahitam? Because maya is not his swarupa. His swarupa is Sachidananda Vigraha. And maya is actually his binname prakriti rashada. So virahitam. And he is yuktam because shaktis are dependent on him and he is not dependent on shaktis. Shaktis are connected to him, but he is not dependent on them. Because shaktis are connected to him, it's called yuktam, he says. So in this way, one beauty of the Subodhini Guide is sometimes very vital words they have taken and given. Sanskrit words. So we will repeat only the Sanskrit words now. Please repeat. Adokshajam, vigraham, bhajaniyangrim, abhavaya, bhavachidam, yuktam, virahitam. So who can remember at least 4 of this? Raise your hand. Without seeing, you can cut immediately, you can say. Yes. Here the mic.
Bhajaniyangriham.
Bhajaniyangriham. Very easy. The lotus feet which are worshipable. Bhajaniyangrim.
Adokshajam.
Adokshajam.
Yuktam.
Yuktam.
Virahitam.
Those two are also easy to remember. Yuktam virahitam. Yuktam virahitam. Bhajaniyangrim. Adokshajam. Anybody can remember any other name other than this? Abhavaya. So we are into Bhavaya. And he is? Abhavaya. Correct? What else you remember? Bhavachidam. He can chidam bhava. Yeah, he can cut bhava, correct? Cut the bhava for us. So he is abhavaya, so he can do bhavachidam. They are also connected, correct? No? See, if somebody is bhavaya, can he cut bhavachidam? He cannot. So he is abhavaya, bhavachidam. See, in this way we have to remember the Lord's names. Abhavaya, bhavachidam, bhajaniyangrim, adokshajam, yuktam, virahitam. 6 we have remembered. Any more? Vigraham is always a form. Rupam. A form like this. So in this way he is quoting. Come, let's go to the 7th verse. So know that is tattada virat. Nice it was, no? All the verses one after another. Let's go to 7th verse.
Vrinihi kamam dripayan manogatam mattastvam auttana pade vishankitah varam varar hom bhujanabha padayo anantaram tvam vayamanga shushruma.
See, this is the raga for anything auspicious. Instructions are given, you can sing in this raga. Nice it is, no? Yeah, read the translation.
My dear Dhruva Maharaj, son of Maharaj Uttanapad, we have heard that you are constantly engaged in transcendental loving service to Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known for his lotus navel. You are therefore worthy to take all benedictions from us. Please, therefore, ask without hesitation whatever benediction you want from me.
Here is awarding benedictions. Read the purport, few lines.
Dhruva Maharaj, the son of King Uttanapad, was already known throughout the universe as a great devotee of the Lord, constantly thinking of his lotus feet. Such a pure, uncontaminated devotee of Lord is worthy to have all the benedictions that can be offered by the demigods. He does not have to worship the demigods separately for such benedictions. Kuvera is a treasurer of the demigods because he is personally offering whatever benediction Dhruva Maharaj would like to have from him. Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur stated, therefore, that for the person engaged in devotional service of Lord, all material benedictions wait like maid servants.
Mukti Mukulitanjali Sevate Asman. We say, no, that one. Then after 3-4 lines below, Lord Kuvera said to Dhruva Maharaj that he had heard that Dhruva was always in Samadhi, are thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. So he knew that Dhruva Maharaj was na in Dhruva Maharaj had no desire. He knew that Dhruva Maharaj, for Dhruva Maharaj there was nothing desirable within the three worlds because he is already in Samadhi of the Lord. He knew that. So he knew that Dhruva would ask for nothing but to remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord constantly. So Prabhupada already leaked out the answer what Dhruva is going to ask in the future verse. But one time Prabhupada told the Punjab National Bank manager and other people, Prabhupada said, you are all representatives of Kuvera, Prabhupada said. Therefore, you bless us that we Vaishnavas never misuse the money. Whatever money we get, we use all Lakshmi and Narayana service. Like that he told them. So, somebody may ask, how can the Prabhupada seek blessing from such kinds of people? You may have a question. Similarly, we may ask, how can Dhruva, you know, ask any benediction from a demigod? So, you might have heard the story, one lady was favored, an old lady, she was favored by a DSP. And she became very pleased with the DSP's help. I think her jhopadi patti was broken down or something like that. And then, by the help of the DSP, again it was reconstructed and given for her or something. So she told him, I want to bless you that you become a policeman. So people laughed. You are blessing a DSP to become a policeman? What is DSP's position? Isn't it? Similarly, a devotee of the Lord is very exalted already. How can demigod offer him any benediction? Somebody may have a question now. Because demigods can only give things which are perishable commodities made of three gunas. Correct? So how can a demigod like treasurer of the devatas is going to give some gold and silver, which is considered petty and paltry from the viewpoint of a pure devotee. Like that was, you know, Vishwambar, that was Kaivalyam narakayate tidashapura akasha pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpapatale protkhatadam shrayate. Not only this, Vishwampurna sukayate vidimahendradishcha kitayate. He's saying position of Brahma and Indra is like a worm in the stool for a Vaishnava. And what to speak of, Swargaloka's benefits and everything. So, but then, why is he voluntarily offering? And why is Dhruva in the next verse asking? That we will discuss together. Come to the 8th verse. Maitreya Uvacha Saraja Rajena Varaya Chodito Dhruvo Mahabhagavato Mahamatihi Harau Savavre Chalitam Smritim Jaya
Taratyayate ayatnena duratyayam tamah.
Translation.
The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, when thus asked to accept a benediction from Kuber, the Yaksharaj, the king of Yakshas, Dhruva Maharaj, that most elevated pure devotee, who was an intelligent and thoughtful king, begged that he might have unflinching faith and in and the remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus a person can cross over the ocean of nations very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross."
See, this is the only thing he begged. He says he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Lord. That's what Dhruva Maharaj begged. Therefore, it is not enough only to have knowledge of the Shastras. At the right time, we should know how to apply the knowledge of the Shastra and with a real intelligence, ask for something which will be long-lasting. Correct, no? Just like the Nachiketas was given 3 boons. Correct? So, the 3rd boon he asked was, how can I transcend death? In that Upanishad only, this verse comes, Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam Aditya Varanam Tamasa Parastha Tam Eva Vidwan Atimrityumeti. By knowing Supreme Lord only one can transcend. So Nachiketas, when he asked such benediction from Yamaraj, Yamaraj wanted to sort of divert him, saying that I will give you horses, I will give you chariot, I will give you fair maiden, I will give you sons and daughters, and I will give you vast lands, and you can rule over the earth for thousands of years, and you can eat very palatable foodstuffs, and you can live in palatial bungalows. So Nachiketa said, all this is very wonderful, but as I get older and older, my senses will lose their power eventually. And when death strikes one down, then all these things are finished. And he said, "Oh Yama, with you in sight, who in this world would want to, you know, who in this world can enjoy the pleasures? I will only ask for the same boon which I asked you." So he was adamant about it. I want to know how to transcend death. Then only Nachiketa spoke to him. Yama spoke to Nachiketa after that. So when we get an opportunity, you know, are we going to be tempted by some lower urges, asking for something petty, isn't it? Are we going to ask for this, what Dhruva is asking? He wanted unflinching faith in the Lord. Can you give examples from Shastra? People who got the opportune moment, but they asked for something low class and they got stuck in this world. Yes? Agnidara asked for Purvachiti, okay? Purava asked for Urvashi after seeing Lord Vishnu. Devoti asked for children and aerial mansion and everything, taking to different places he took her. So which means later on she said, "I was solidly cheated. I didn't take advantage of you," she said. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah? Daksha, what he asked for? Daksha also saw Vishnu and he said, "My dear Lord, I have a program of begetting children. I just want your blessings." Like this said. Lord said, "Okay, so be it. So fortunately my desires are matching with yours." Like that the Lord said. Which means, anyway, I also want the praja to be done utpati, praja utpati in this world. And you already are attached to doing it. Okay, do it anyway. Like that the Lord told him. So in this way, people can be attached to something in this world. And they may ask for something lower. Which makes them get stuck up. Like in Indra Prithu tussle, Prithu went back to Godhead. Indra got stuck up in the heavenly planets. And Vritrasura, Indra tussled, Vritrasura went back to Godhead. And Indra is stuck up. So Indra remains stuck up so that we can be liberated by hearing about him. So that by hearing we understand this is not the way we should be stuck up. We should proceed to the next destination, you see. So in this way we can see innumerable examples in Shastra of people asking for something petty. You see this Satrajit. Krishna gave him the Shyamantaka jewel. At that time he felt ashamed that I blamed Krishna. I did rumor mongering about Krishna. So then he told Krishna, "I am very sorry. Could you please keep this Shyamantaka jewel? And here is my daughter Satyabhama. Keep her also." But then Krishna looked at his eyes and he understood that this fellow is giving away Shyamantaka jewel, but reluctantly he is giving. Like sometimes a person takes out a Mysore pak to eat, suddenly you appear there. And he feels, alas, this fellow came at the wrong time. And then he asks you, Prabhuji, do you really want a little bit of this Mysore pak? No. Or just, if you have finished prasad just now, you may not want to take, isn't it? Or you really want? Asking. And what you will say? No, you will say no. You may say, okay, you can give me half. And he may give you 1/5 of it. Break little bit from the top and say, Prabhuji, just now you finished prasad, now you should not eat anymore. But because it's prasad, take little bit. So from his reluctance, what do you understand? He doesn't want to give. Like that Satrajit also, here is Satyabhama, take her. And if you want, you can also keep this Shyamataka. Like that Krishna told him, see, I will take Satyabhama, but I'll give back Shyamataka jewel to you. And immediately he accepted it back. Thank you. Took it back. See, that Shyamataka jewel became the cause of his murder subsequently. Similarly, the material commodities we are greedy for, they become the cause of our being stuck up in the material world. You see, therefore Dhruva Maharaj did not ask for anything. He actually, therefore it's called Mahamati. Mahamati, very intelligent. So actually we all have to compare whenever we are also awarded any opportunity. So whether it will be anukul for my bhakti or pratikul for my bhakti, we should always see that before we may opt for anything. Like sometimes a devotee may take up too many opportunities. Like one devotee was telling that somebody is ready to give 100 acres land. When he heard it, his eyes became dilated. Wow, 100 acres. And another person is saying, you know, I will give you 50 acres here, and somebody is saying 20 acres there. So many people are giving many things. Only thing is, this fellow has no manpower. And who will take care of the 100 acres? Who will take care of 50 acres? Some temples have 5-6 property like that. And ISKCON took the property, and ISKCON couldn't do anything. And the donor got frustrated. He said, Ya to aap log kuch karo, nahin to kisi aur ko de denge hum. I will take it from you and give it to somebody else who can do something. So then we will become like the nutty greedy. You know nutty greedy? You take this land also, take this also, this also, everything, you keep it, and what are you going to do? You just put a topi and go finally. Correct, no? You don't do anything with, and it's all encroached. So therefore, one should know that if you are given something, we should compare, what will it do for me? Is it anukul for my bhakti or pratikul for my bhakti? Can you give an example of something somebody accepted which became a source of his disturbance in devotional life and took him away from devotional life? He is saying, of course, he was not awarded. He didn't seek it. It came on his way. Deer came on his way. But somebody was awarded and he greedily accepted. But that actually became the cause of his going away from Krishna, attaining the ultimate goal. Yeah? He is saying Yamanacharya. Very good example. Yamanacharya was a devotee in childhood. He was studying Bhagavad Gita and everything. When he was given half the kingdom, you know, in case he didn't accept, probably he would have become a follower of, no, his grandfather Nathamuni very naturally. But because he had accepted half the kingdom, he was completely Bhogaishwarya Prasaktana Taya Apakrita Chetasam. He was just dragged away from fixity. Later on, mercifully, he was brought back. Right now? Any other example? Somebody? Yeah? Yayati is saying, very good. Yayati accepted Devyani. He could have refused, but he accepted, and then many things happened because of that. Yeah? Who? She's saying Sugriva accepted a kingdom. Of course, he was after the kingdom also. After Vali was finished, after accepting kingdom, he got distracted. That is also correct. Actually, Priyavrat didn't, Sugriva and Priyavrat, difference is, Sugriva was greedy for kingdom, Priyavrat was not greedy for kingdom. But from attachment point of view, both of them became attached. But Sugriva had to be threatened to come out of attachment. Priyavrat was very affectionately brought out of attachment by Brahma, because Brahma only ordered him to take up. Because he obeyed Brahma, therefore, although he became attached at one time, he was brought out of attachment because of his obedience to Supreme Lord. Because of that, he was brought out of attachment. Automatically, he was brought out. On his own, he developed Virakti, Bhavana, Priyavrat. But Sugriva had to be threatened to come out of attachment. Even Dhritarashtra was threatened to come out. Come out. Like that. Then they came out of attachments. Nice, very nice. So this type of discussion helps us to see how we should not seek lower things, you know, gifts of the three gunas, useless. You know? Whereas Dhruva Maharaj wanted pure prema only. Now you may wonder, how can Kubera give him prema? You may wonder. You will see that the last few lines of the same purport, Prabhupada is writing, if you see. Kubera, the treasure of the demigods, whose only business is to supply immense riches to persons within the material world, is described as king of kings, because unless one is blessed by Kubera, one cannot become a king. The king of kings personally offered Dhruva Maharaj any amount of riches, but he declined to accept them. Therefore, he is called Mahamati, highly intellectual. So one more we will read and then we will discuss. 9th verse.
Tasya pritena manasa
tam
datvaida vidastatah pashyatontardadhe sopi svapuram pratyapadyata.
Translation.
The son of Idavida, Lord Kubera, was very pleased and happily he gave Dhruva Maharaj the benediction he wanted. Thereafter he disappeared from Dhruva's presence and Dhruva Maharaj returned to his capital city.
Yeah, read the purport first 5-6 lines.
Kubera, who is known as son of Idavida, was very pleased with Dhruva Maharaj because he did not ask him for anything materially enjoyable. Kubera is one of the demigods. So one may put forward the argument, why did Dhruva Maharaj take a benediction from a demigod? The answer is that for a Vaishnava, there is no objection to take a benediction from a demigod if it is suitable for advancing in Krishna consciousness.
And then he is giving example of gopis worshipping Katyayani to get Krishna as the husband. And the last line of the same purport, 2 lines, a Vaishnava is always respectful. Read that.
A Vaishnava is always respectful to everyone. So when Kubera offered him a benediction, he did not refuse it. But he wanted something which would be favorable to his advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Okay, now you come to the Subodhini guide. Go to the 8th verse. See, in the 7th verse, please ask a benediction without hesitation, he is telling. There Prabhupada is saying, read the note in the 7th.
Note. Simply by engaging in devotional service, one can have all the benedictions of the world without separate endeavor.
Regarding this, Saurabha Bhavma Prabhu, when he came, he was speaking also. That if you do devotional service, Lord doesn't give you whatever minimum things you want. He keeps you in comfort. Speaking. He keeps your life very comfortable. He arranges nice prasad for his devotees. Nice accommodation for his devotees. Nice travels for his devotees. And they are taken care very nicely. Krishna feels these are like my people. I have to take good care of my devotees. So he keeps his devotees very comfortable, he said. And then Sarvabhu was saying, अरे बोलने की क्या जरूरत है, हम लोगों का अनुभव है, क्या क्या दिया भगवान ने हमको, हम कुछ नहीं करते हैं, सिर्फ उनकी गुणगान करते हैं. He was selling like that, correct na? It is a fact. So Lord himself takes care of his devotees. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham, he says that. Therefore, if you engage in devotional service, you don't need to separately seek anything. So the material welfare of the devotee follows his spiritual welfare like a shadow. Like when you walk, the shadow follows you. Like that, as soon as you do devotional service, everything is taken care. In case the devotee is poor, that is a special orchestration of Krishna for some purpose. Definitely. Just like Sudama Brahmana appeared to be poor, but Krishna didn't want him to be rich in the beginning. Otherwise, how the pastime will happen? In the beginning only, if he is having a big bungalow with hundreds of servants and he is going to Dwaraka just to, hi Krishna, how are you, and coming back. You know. Therefore, first he is poor and then from beggar to billionaire. Yeah, that he becomes. So, if Krishna keeps a devotee poor without prosperity, that is for a purpose. Otherwise, Krishna provides everything that his devotee needs. Like for example, when Arjuna met Krishna, Krishna told Arjuna, go to heaven, meet Indra, and take some celestial weapons. Then he came back with celestial weapon. Then he told him, go to Shiva and get Pashupatastra. So he went and got that. And then in this way, Krishna would direct him, go to this demigod and get this. Go to that king and get this. He arranged for Arjuna everything before the battle. So he prepared his devotee, equipped his devotee with everything that is necessary. So in this way you will find the Lord is so attentive to his devotee's needs. And here also, Lord is inspiring Kuvera in his heart to tell Dhruva that I am willing to give you some benediction. Correct, no? And then Dhruva is also inspired by Lord within the heart to ask for the right benediction of incessant remembrance of the Lord. Constant unflinching faith in Lord Vishnu. Now, this transaction has one very deep meaning. What is the meaning of this? When no demigod can give anything to a devotee bigger than what Krishna can give. But there is a reason why Kuvera was willing to give benediction and Dhruva was asking benediction. Because Lord noticed that with our Kuvera had certain impressions in his mind, painful impressions of having lost the yakshas, so many thousands of yakshas. So imagine if some family members undergo some turmoil with another family, there is a life loss. There is so much of life loss. So do you agree that it will cause some painful impressions in Kuvera's mind? Isn't it? So Lord arranged in such a way that Lord made Kuvera speak out. What he spoke out? I'll give you any benediction you want. And Dhruva is asking for benediction, that give me Shuddha Bhakti. At that time Kuvera is telling him Tadastu, which means I will not take any offense from you. So I remove the offenses from your road back to Godhead. So when offenses are removed, you can very easily attain Lord's Krishna Prem. That is the meaning of this. I will take away the offense. Because if I hold any impressions of pain in my heart, then your ticket back to Godhead will not be strongly assured. Because the offenses that are in our account, they only go away when you attain Prema. In the spiritual world, when you see the Lord face to face. So Kuvera voluntarily withdrew whatever, you know, complaints he might have had about Dhruva or painful impressions he must have had in his mind. Therefore, although he is a demigod, he may not be awarding something very big to Dhruva. He can avoid taking offenses. Correct, no? So that we can. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord should always be seeking blessings. He should never take for granted that I don't care for anyone, I will go back to Godhead on my own. That type of attitude will not please the Lord. Like Prabhupada, when he was in his last days, he begged for forgiveness. He said, I have scolded so many scientists as rascals and I have even criticized some of my God brothers, you know, as envious of me and all that. Prabhupada said, I am a Mahapatita, he said. So his holiness Puri Maharaj was there. So he said, no, you are not Mahapatita, you are Mahapatita Pavan, he said. Because none of us could deliver fallen souls, but you went to the West and delivered some of the most fallen souls, not one or two. Nityananda delivered one Jagayamadai and you delivered thousands of them. So you are a Mahapatita Pavan, he said. So, but Prabhupada actually exemplified ideal Vaishnava attitude at the time of passing away. Because he knew that in case somebody amongst my God brothers has taken some impressions in their mind that I have created some pain for them, let them now with an open heart bless me that no, we don't take any more offenses. No, we will not take any offenses. You are wonderful and we agree that let you attain Krishna Prema. Let them wish like that. Then my road will be clear. Therefore, Dhruva was inspired by Lord within his heart to give a benediction. And Dhruva asked for a pure Shuddha Bhakti benediction. And Dhruva cleared his track back to Godhead. You appreciate this point, no? So, that is coming in Chakravarti Thakur and also in Unveiling the Lotus Feet. Burijan Prabhu, yeah.
Kuvera, even though so many yakshas of his were killed, he was not provoked by anger. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj, even though his one brother was killed, he was provoked by anger.
Correct.
So then, Kuvera is not giving disrespect to Dhruva. In that sense, how it is? That anger is whether transcendentally inspired anger, or whether it's coming from Dehatma Buddhi or...
He says it is Dehatma Buddhi. Who? Our Swayambhu Manu. And Kuvera also, you will see in some of the verses, he will say that bhuta vaishasam, he says, which means actually the desire to kill someone's body or cause harm to others, it is due to dehatma buddhi. He says like that. So now how do we understand? From our understanding, we should know that Dhruva is an exalted person. He has seen Lord Vishnu and he had tears in his eyes. He has experienced Ashtasattvika Vikar. But sometimes the Lord uses very, very advanced devotees like puppets in his hands to teach the world some lessons. So through Dhruva, the Lord is teaching us some valuable lessons, just like Lord uses Parikshit to teach some lessons to the world. Like that we can take it and not consider that, no, even I don't become so angry like Dhruva. Probably I am a greater soul. One shouldn't think like that foolishly, you know. Yeah. Why? He is asking why Kubera is not. Certainly Kubera is also a very exalted person. And also one more thing is, even you will have difficulty becoming angry if you know that the person involved is a very exalted person. Yeah. Say for example, if you have one very senior devotee whom you deeply love and respect, you know that he is very advanced devotee, very realized devotee, and somebody comes and tells you that he has done this blunder, and I am very upset with him. So will you become extremely angry with the devotee? I am asking you. How many of you say it will be a little difficult for you to immediately become extremely angry? Because you will consider his position also, no? So Dhruva was very popular, internationally popular. Yeah. Yeah, he was known even to demigods also. They all got suffocated, no? All of them. You have seen that picture? Isn't all of them are suffocated? So they all knew that. They understood he is a very not ordinary person. So therefore, because he was involved, what Kubera must have thought in his mind was, let Dhruva's anger subside. Let Yakshas be saved at least, rest of them. Because one of the Yakshas only killed. Correct, no? Sometimes when our man commits a blunder, for example, say you are going in the car, in the public road, one auto is coming, you hit the auto like this, pat, you hit. And then auto wala is saying that you have to repair the auto, I need money, 10,000 rupees, something he says like that. You say, no, I cannot give. And the auto wala may slap, correct, no? And then somebody clicked a photo of the devotee being slapped and put in the newspaper. Hare Krishna, devotee is slapped. And then immediately it brings bad reputation to us. So actually, we may be very upset, you know, why this fellow slapped and who clicked the photo and how it went to paper. We may be upset with all these things, correct, no? But there is also a mistake from our side also. Because in the beginning, what our devotee said is, I can't give you a single penny, get lost, correct, no? So he said like that, therefore that fellow slapped. So the mistake is on one side or two sides? Both sides, correct, no? Similarly here, this yaksha, I don't know why this yaksha killed Uttama, we don't know. But one yaksha has killed Uttama. So that's the first mistake from the part of yaksha. And then Dhruva took action for that action. Therefore, Kubera cannot be unnecessarily very much angry also. The only thing is, Kubera might have been, why Swayambhu said Kubera is angry? To cool down Dhruva. Correct, no? Yeah. Sometimes if a devotee is telling, you know, like if a devotee says, I saw all over, sometimes devotee is shouting and you tell him, "Are, that devotee is extremely angry with you. Yesterday only I met him. Then you may ask, "Acha, he is also angry. I thought I am only angry on him." Then your anger will cool down. Because now you have come to get a new thing which you didn't know. You thought that he will cool down and you will dance on his head. But now you already see that he is on your shoulder already. Then you cool down. You understand, huh? Therefore, Swayambhu Manu told him, see, don't think you are very angry. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if any of us become very angry, he said, you should look at the picture of Narasimha Dev, Prabhupada said. Because nobody can be more angry than him. Huh? Then we will cool down, he said. Therefore, Swayambhu Manu said that Kubera must be very angry. But actually, as such, Kubera wasn't very angry. Imagine if Swayambhu Manu told that Kubera is actually standing there smiling at you, please go and meet him. Then Dhruva was smiling. Now I will not leave. Even if Kubera stops me, nobody can stop me. I will finish the race of Yakshas. Like that Dhruva must have said. Therefore he told him, hey, understand, Kubera is angry with you and I am also upset with the way you have done, and I am telling you these are things you should not have done. So the whole idea is to stop Dhruva from wrong action. Correct, no? So whatever I told you, it must be here in the 8th. The note, it is there now. Okay, it is there. So let's go to the 9th. Okay, now see the themes now. Quickly read the theme.
Simply by engaging bhakti to Lord, one can have all benedictions of the world without separate endeavor. Thoughtful Dhruva, Mahamati, asked for unflinching faith in and remembrance of Supreme Lord. Achalitam Smritim.
Unflinching remembrance of Supreme Lord is called Achalitam Smritim. That's what he wanted. The 8th verse. Okay, now we'll go to the 10th, 9th verse.
Tasya Pritena Manasa. Tam Datpaida Vidastataha. Pashyatondar Dadhe Sopi. Swapuram Pratyapadyata.
In this way, Kubera gave him the benediction and went back to his own abode after that. Now come to the 10th verse.
Ata yajata yajnesham kratuvir bhuri dakshinaihi dravyakriya devatanam karma krama phala pradam.
As long as he remained at home, Dhruva Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices are especially meant to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices and who awards the resultant benedictions.
Yeah. So now Dhruva Maharaj, the yaksha portion is over now. Yaksha part is over. Has come back to his palace now. And in the 4th line, Prabhupada is saying, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are, read.
Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are supposed to earn.
Are especially. Supposed written there as?
Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are especially advised to perform great ceremonial sacrifices and to distribute their accumulated money very liberally.
That means Kshatriya should do yajna and Vaishya should distribute money liberally. Of course, Kshatriya also should give dana also to the poor and to the brahmanas, for everybody. Yeah.
Dhruva Maharaj, as a king and ideal Kshatriya, performed many such sacrifices, giving very liberally in charity. Kshatriya and Vaishyas are supposed to earn their money and accumulate great riches. Sometimes they do it by acting sinfully. Kshatriyas.
Sometimes the Vaishyas may have to tell lies. He may tell somebody that, actually, I am giving you a, you know, same cost, principal cost. I am not making any profit for you because you are my friend. They may say like that. Like they may buy a commodity at 5,000 and sell it at 8,000 and say that, you know, I am not making any profit from you. Prabhupada says, if they don't say like that, then you will become bondi. If a Vaishya becomes like Brahmana, he says, see, I purchased at 5,000, but I am only keeping 3,000 rupees profit so that I also need some money for myself. So what the other fellow will say? Okay, give it to me at what price? 5,000. He will not pay a single penny. So if a Vaishya becomes truthful like Brahmana, then Vaishya has to put a cloth on his head and walk out. He won't have any money earning. So sometimes he has to tell some lies that I am not making any profit for you. Prabhupada says that. Therefore, Prabhupada uses the word sinfully. Or sometimes Vaishya may keep exorbitant profit also sometimes due to greed. Like he may buy some quantity at 5,000 and sell it at 25,000. Possible. Why? When there is a monopoly. Monopoly means he finds that other people in market don't have this. Only I have it. Then it's monopoly. Then he may multiply the price like anything. So in this way they may become sinful. Similarly, Kshatriyas, how are they sinful? In the Rajasu Yajna and Gomedha Yajna and all, they put a cow or a horse in the fire sacrifice like our Prachana Parishad was also doing. Sometimes the animal may not come back to life because there was an imperfection in the yajna. Then it becomes killing of the animal. Then it becomes brahmahatya. Or it becomes killing of an innocent creature. So then that becomes sinful. Similarly, Kshatriyas are allowed to kill the forest animals and keep the population of the forest animals under control so that brahmanas can do their bhajan peacefully. But sometimes the hunting is a very intoxicating experience. So they may exceed the quota allotted for them. And they may end up overkilling. Because it's like, just like sometimes when somebody drinks liquor, he drinks more and more and gets affected. Similarly, the killing of animals, they may overly kill. Or like Dhruva, you find, sometimes Kshatriya is fighting a Dharma Yuddha, but sometimes Adharma Yuddha. They may fight a battle due to self-aggrandizement to expand their kingdom. Unnecessarily, they may torture the people of other country to get their kingdom or to loot them and all that. So in this way, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas sometimes can fall prey to sinful habits. Like you know, Kartavirajan did balatkar in taking away the Kamadenu cow. So Kshatriya can use his bala in a wrong way. Or you find Kaushik Raja, he wanted to take away the Kamadenu of Vasishtha Muni. Later on he becomes Vishwamitra. So these are all examples of how Kshatriya can misuse his power.
Correct.
Or sometimes a Kshatriya, for some period of life, especially in youth, he may become a drunkard, he may be a woman hunter, you know, he may become intoxicated by power and wealth and position and collect the public taxes to, you know, enjoy life, his own life, instead of caring for the welfare of the public, you know. He may not be a responsible king. Then he becomes sinful. So in this way, it's important for us to know how Kshatriya and Vaishya can become sinful so that we, you know, in society people can know how to avoid those sinful activities. Read further.
Dhruva Maharaj, for example, in the course of ruling, had to fight and kill many yakshas. Such action is necessary for Kshatriyas. A Kshatriya should not be a coward and he should not be non-violent. To rule over country, he has to act violently. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are therefore especially advised to give in charity at least 50% of their accumulated wealth. In Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that even though one enters the renounced order of life, he cannot still give up the performance of yajna, dana and tapasya. They are never to be given up. Tapasya is meant for renounced order of life. Those who are retired from the worldly activities should perform tapasya, penances and austerities. Those who are in material world, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, must give charity. Brahmacharis in the beginning of their lives should perform different kinds of yajnas.
Yeah, and then he goes on. Right then. Yeah. So if you see the previous para, last line, it says Kshatriya should not be coward and he should not be non-violent. To rule over the country, he has to act violently, he says. So Kshatriya should not be non-violent. At the same time, he should not become unnecessarily violent. And he shouldn't become unnecessarily non-violent also. Like for example, Arjuna was told not to be non-violent. Prabhupada calls the word nonsense non-violence, he says. So he was told to fight. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj was told, stop fighting. Because you are going overboard. So in this way, Kshatriya should know how when to be non-violent and when to be violent. And for that he needs guidance from a Brahmana. So therefore he needs higher advice. Yeah. Read the next para, Dhruva Maharaj, very important.
Dhruva Maharaj, as an ideal king, practically emptied his treasury by giving charity. A king is not meant simply to realize taxes from the citizens and accumulate wealth to spend in sense gratification. World monarchy has failed ever since kings began to satisfy their personal senses with the taxes accumulated from citizens. Of course, whether the system is monarchy or democracy, the same corruption is still going on. At the present moment, there are different parties in the democratic government, but everyone is busy trying to keep his post or trying to keep his political party in power. The politicians have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens, whom they oppress with heavy taxes in the form of income tax, sales tax and many other taxes. People sometimes have 80 to 90% of their income taken away, and these taxes are lavishly spent for the high salaries drawn by the officers and rulers. Formerly, the taxes accumulated from citizens were spent for performing great sacrifices as enjoined in Vedic literature. At the present moment, however, almost all forms of sacrifice are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended in the Shastras that people should perform Sankirtan Yajna. Any householder, regardless of his position, can perform this Sankirtan Yajna without expenditure. All the family members can sit down together, simply clap their hands and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sab log boliye, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, actually, in our movement, ISKCON movement, every member of the movement should be convinced about the power of the holy name. Because in the Vedic times, like Treta Yuga, people had a very great faith in the Sankirt and in the yajnas which they were performing. Thousands and thousands of people would come and participate. The Brahmanas would chant the Vedic mantras. So many pujas would be done. Archana of the Lord would be done also, and people would take part, and then there will be a feast for everybody. And I heard that Parampuja Radha Govind Maharaj says in one of his lectures that when the Yajna Kund would be made, the Yajna Kund itself will be almost our compound size. That size of Yajna Kund will be there, almost 6 acres, 10 acres, like that. And on four sides, you know, when you do like this, this side and this side, this side. Nowadays what we do is, four brahmacharis are sitting and reading some book, you have seen, no? Whereas four Bhagavad Kathas would be going on in four directions. And each will be having its own pandal. And there will be Bhagavad Katha going on, people will be listening. So that would be going on also, and yajna would be going on also. So, and the yajna would last for months together sometimes. Crores of rupees would be spent in that. In the 10th canto also you read, Rasu Yajna is elaborately described. In some chapters you will read, in the 10th canto, there also you will read Avibhrita Bhath. There is a bath to be taken before, bath to be taken later, and lot of detailed procedure is there. So people did it with great Shraddha in Treta Yuga. But now for this age, the path is Sankirtan Yajna. Whether do we do it with equal amount of Shraddha is very important. Similarly, visiting temple, visiting holy places, you know, associating with saintly people. So people have been doing it in the previous ages. But in this day and age, as Prabhupada says here, see what he says, any householder, what they should do, he says, the family members can sit together and clap hands and chant Hare Krishna. So whether this is happening is very important. If family members don't come together congregationally, sit in front of the altar, clap hands and do kirtan, then our movement cannot expand. Because brahmacharis are living in the temple and doing their morning program, chanting, dancing. Outside people, nobody knows what is happening in the campus. Unless they visit the temple. But the grihasthas who live outside the temple, those who are spreaded out in the society, if they do kirtan, immediately who will take notice? Neighbors. What is this noise? And people would come. Therefore, every grihastha has a powerful opportunity to preach in the neighborhood and create a group of 50 to 100 people by putting up festivals at home, by doing Mangalarati at home or evening Gaurarati at home. And the home should become like a place for, like a preaching center. Any serious devotee can do that. Like, that's what Prabhupada is saying, that congregationally they should come and chant. But unfortunately, people think if 16 rounds are over, that's all. And that we do silent japa. We don't loudly chant. So neighbors don't even know what kind of devotee you are. As Prabhupada says, if all congregation devotees start doing this, our movement would take leaps and bounds. We can expand to very great heights. Number of devotees will become crores actually. If every congregation devotee makes a policy to loudly do kirtan and invite everybody. So in this way, in this purport, Prabhupada is talking about the corrupt politicians who are taking the taxes of the people, and instead of doing yajna for the Lord, they are filling up their own belly and they are filling up their own pockets. So therefore I give a heading. Read the heading.
Collect taxes not for sense gratification but for yajna and prasad distribution.
So if you go to the next page in this, 2-3 lines later, Prabhupada says the Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principle, chant the Harekrishna Maha Mantra at every moment, as much as possible, both inside and outside of the temples, and as far as possible distribute prasad. So Prabhupada has given instruction in the purport. Food for life, what we are giving in the campus at the door, this is not some casual thing, it's a very serious thing. Because Prabhupada is saying here, we have to chant Hare Krishna and distribute prasad. It's an instruction of Prabhupada. This process can be accelerated with the cooperation of state administrators and those who are producing the country's wealth. That means, you know, what Prabhupada is indirectly hinting is midday meal type of thing. Like for example, the process can be accelerated with the cooperation of state administrators. Like we make an NGO kind of thing, and then those who are producing the country's wealth. So from them you take money and distribute liberally. But one very important thing, prasadam distribution should be accompanied by the holy name chanting. See, just prior to that Prabhupada has mentioned, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at inside and outside and distribute prasad, he says. Correct? He doesn't say distribute prasad alone. Therefore, in our Food for Life stall also there is kirtan going on. Correct? Till night 9 o'clock you keep hearing Hare Krishna, correct, no? Keeps going on. Therefore, the distribution of prasadam should be accompanied by chanting of the holy name, he says. Yeah. So that is the main highlight of this purport. Collect taxes not for sense gratification but for yajna and prasadam distribution. Actually, these are very simple procedure, very easy to do. You don't have to be a very big preacher also. I know one devotee who inspired us. He came to Pune once. He goes to distribute prasad in orphanages. In those days, he personally sent money from America to us, 1 lakh rupees, and said, make prasad and distribute in this particular orphanage in Pune. So we were distributing. Recently, he came to Pune also. So there are people who collect money and cook prasad, and go out and chant Harinam Sankirtan and distribute prasad. This is also one type of preaching. Prabhupada says that. It's a very great service. And we have to do it because the kings are not doing it. Politicians are not doing it. There is one lady, Chief Minister of Tamil Nadu. She passed away, I think, recently. Jayalalitha. So, she went to one Vaishnava Acharya. And she asked him, that because she herself is born in a Vaishnava family, but she became a great cinema actress, and MGR and Jayalalitha, they were great actor and actress. Many movies they have put up. Later she became a politician. So she went to one Vaishnava and asked, you know, now I am a politician and God has put me in this position, what is the best service I can do? So he said, make sure in all the Divyadesam temples prasadam should be distributed. So that's only one instruction that Acharya gave her. And then she called up and made an intimation to all the government officers that in all these temples now prasadam should be distributed. Nowadays I heard, is it true, Radha Praman Prabhu? Now they are distributing prasad because of which the crowd has increased in Vishnu temples. Is it wonderful, Nadir? Because government, imagine if government gives NVCC monthly, you have to spend 10 lakh rupees for distributing prasad. Correct. Of course, we have kitchen department, we have to ask whether they can cook. It's a big, big cooking. So, if you distribute prasad, the crowd will also swell up, increase. Therefore, he is saying that chant the holy name and distribute prasad. Very simple instruction. You don't have to be a big scholar to speak much. Because most people are very, low class. They cannot actually understand philosophy much. So, when you chant, at least they will say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they will take prasad. So, they will utter the holy name and eat prasad. That is the 10th verse.